covering what we covered last week on Genesis. I feel this morning we had a Lord's table. It was a wonderful Lord's table. I feel it's also a preparation for us to review last week's message. You may not know what I mean. What I mean is this. The Lord's table is very simple. A bread and a cup. And yet, the meaning is so rich, so full. There was a hymn. One of the hymns mentioned that this table is full of significance. Then what we are covering this morning, in fact, we are covering concerning Jacob. You know, it's just a record in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, in the first book. It seems like, you know, it's just a man's story. And yet, if we see from the whole Bible, it's so meaningful what Jacob went through, you know. We've been covering Genesis. Just some of the saints may not know why we're covering Genesis. We're covering Genesis this morning. We only read Genesis 1:26. In fact, it was from a brother, James, his burden concerning, in fact, it's the burden of brothers all the time, that our God has a purpose. And Genesis 1:26 revealed this purpose to us, that God created man with a purpose. He created man in his image according to his likeness. And he mentioned, let them have dominion. So image and dominion, these are the purpose that God created us. And in Genesis 1:26, following that, we have Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1:27 mentioned that them have dominion, and God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So this man, on one hand, is Adam, but with Eve. So they are corporate men. You know, the Bible is really the word of God, you know. In the beginning of Genesis, we see this one man, in fact, Adam with Eve, this corporate man. On one hand, is he created him. On the other hand, is he created them. This is in the very beginning of Genesis. At the end of Genesis, you know, in fact, we are covering Genesis on the, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This week, we are covering transformation for God's building. And next week, we will covering the maturing process that Jacob went through. Eventually, Jacob was mature, you know. That's what we see at the end of Genesis, you know. Jacob was born a Jacob. Jacob means a heel holder, you know. He was born a heel holder. Try to always grab something. You know, before he was born, he was grabbing his brother's heel, trying to pull him back so he can come out first. But he didn't come out first. Such a person, you know. Then later on, he came out second. Then he tried to get his brother's firstborn sonship. You know, in fact, he did not deceive his brother in order to get that. He made a very smart deal, you know, with one bowl of red bean soup, you know, and gotten his brother's birthright. Then later on, through his mom's help, that he took the blessing from his father. Such a person in the very beginning, which is in Genesis chapter 25, it mentioned Jacob's birth. At the end of Genesis, we see such a person with hands always try to get something from others, but these two hands became blessing hands. You know, he blessed Pharaoh, and he blessed Joseph's two sons, and he blessed 12 sons. You know, so we can see in Jacob's life, this person has gone through a big change from a heel holder to become Israel, Prince of God. So it's very, very meaningful that in the beginning was the image and dominion. At the end of Genesis, Jacob, he became Israel, Prince of God, expressing God and blessing others. Jacob, at the end of Genesis, he had the image of God. You know, he was not like when he was born, but rather he was transformed. To be such a person expressing God, we see that he blessed others. But there are other signs to show that Jacob, this person, God, through God's working. You know, that's what we covered before transformation for God's building. The week before, we covered that Jacob was chosen by God, and Jacob was failed by God, and he was broken by God in order that he might be transformed. But all these processes are for one thing, that is for God's building. You know, this is very meaningful. So if we, Jacob's story, just like what we see in Genesis, we won't get that much. But if we see from God's view, God's purpose, we will realize it's full of meaning. You know, when I was younger, when people mentioned to me, you know, about Jacob's story, then your transformation for the building, I would say, these two are not related. What are you doing? You know. But today, the world is open to us. And we see very clear, Genesis in the beginning, at end of Genesis, even the end of the whole Bible, we see what God wants is man may express him, and man may represent him, and exercise his authority. The end of Genesis, on one hand, Jacob, he was expressing God, he was blessing others, and he was very mature in his life at the end. You know, he has a lot of a situation in his family, you know. I don't want to go into detail because it takes a lot of time. To the end of Genesis, you know, one of Jacob's 12 sons, Joseph, became second to Pharaoh, the king of the most, you know, the strongest country during that time. So Joseph, his ruling over Egypt is the ruling of a mature life, which is Jacob. Jacob, you know, he expressed God, but Jacob representing God and his ruling was through his son, Joseph. You know, I don't know about you. In the past, I could not accept, or I don't agree. What do you mean by Joseph is part of Jacob or part of Israel. This morning I don't have time to explain to you, but this morning I should tell you a little bit. So this morning I'm very thankful that I fully, to me, I don't mean to you, that Joseph is a part of the maturing life of Jacob. You know, in Genesis 37, verse 2, it mentioned about the generations of Jacob. But right after that, the same verse mentioned Joseph was 17 years old. So the Bible doesn't separate these two persons. And also, I just mentioned, in the beginning of Genesis, there was image and dominion. At the end of Genesis, still there was image and dominion. In the beginning was just, you know, God created Adam in his image, then gave him the dominion so he can represent God to rule the fish of the sea, the birds of heaven, over the cattle, the whole earth, and over all the creeping things. At the end of Genesis, we see there's a person, he ruled the whole, at that time, Egypt and all the surrounding areas. And also, you know, when we get into Exodus, you know, this will be the this year's winter training. We'll cover that. In Exodus, we see God. The name of God is the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. It didn't say God was the God of Joseph. You know, so Joseph is included in Jacob. In Genesis, usually we say there, Genesis is a book of eight great persons. Adam, then afterwards Abel, Enoch, then Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Did I miss someone? Enosh? Let me go one more time. Adam, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. If we say eight, that's this eight. If we say nine, including Joseph. If we say A, the A can include Joseph because Jacob includes Joseph. So all this, you know, to me, I just realized the Bible is really wonderful. Reveal all the wonderful things. Just like this table, you know, this morning I appreciate the table so much. Because on one hand, it's just a piece of bread, a cup. Everybody take a little bit. And yet, these two bread and a cup, these two items, includes everything what God has done, what God wants to do, what God is doing, and what God eventually will get. You know, I really appreciate the many hymns we sang this morning. You know, in fact, all these hymns tells us God has three works. The first one is God's creation. You know, the last hymn, hymn number one, you mentioned, you know, the creation. So creation was God's work, but creation was God's work for his preparation in order to gain his final product. Then, after the creation, but man became fallen. And so God continued to work. You know, yes, Friday night in Columbia, they were covering John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, verse 17, if I remember right, it mentioned the Father is working when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, and the Son also works. What kind of work are they doing? I thought God was created already. God finished and God rested. But because man fall, the Father is still working and the Son is working to accomplish the work of redemption. But the work of creation and the work of creation, that both are for something more, that is God's building. God's building, you know, creation, if you read, it took two chapters, Genesis 1 and 2. Redemption, the first four books of New Testament, 33 and a half years. But God's building covers the rest of the Bible. So today we are here for God's building. You know, we only read one verse, but we have many other verses. So maybe we can read these verses, and these verses will lead us into some of the things I like to share. Let's read Matthew 16:18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. This is the greatest prophecy in the Bible, that the Lord will build his church. So building is not just we are saying here. The building is in the Bible. So, you know, the message title of this sharing is the same as the training we just finished on Genesis. Transformation for God's building. In fact, when the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, this is not the first time mentioned concerning the building. The first time the matter of building mentioned was in Genesis 2:22. Let's read that verse. And Jehovah God built the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man. So this is the first mention concerning the building. Jehovah God built the rib. You know, the rib was taken from the man, that is from Adam. And by this rib, Jehovah God built a woman. How a rib can become a woman, I don't know. But it became a woman. In fact, I heard some stories, I just kind of mentioned a little bit. Because, you know, today, even organs, you cannot produce an organ by taking something from the bone, you know. So if a human organ, cannot come out of a bone marrow or something, you know, and surely God can do a bone with a woman. But the point is, Eve was not created. Eve was built. So this build a woman is a seed for the rest of the building in the whole Bible. That's why the Lord Jesus, when he said, I will build my church, there was a development of Genesis chapter 2 that God built a woman. Then later on we will see. Okay, let's continue. Okay, let me just insert something. So building is God's main work, or the center of God's work is building. And in fact, the whole Bible is focused on this matter of building. So we Christians, we need to change our concept, thinking, you know, just to save people, that's good enough. That is not good enough. Because salvation is for building. That's why, you know, we read Matthew 16:18, you know, the Lord said, I will build my church. But if we need to know the background. The background was when the Lord Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Then later on he asked the disciples, who do Jews say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, the Bible tells us, whoever confesses the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when Peter made that confession, he got saved. Then the Lord Jesus right away said to him, I also say to you, You are Peter. Peter means a stone. By this stone, we will see Jacob's dream is also involved in this building. Peter as a stone is for God's building. Then the Lord Jesus said right away, I also say to you, that means our salvation is only half. The second half, the Lord wants to tell us is, I also will say to you that you are Peter. And upon this rock, which is the revelation concerning Christ, I will build my church. So building of the church is the goal of our salvation. So today we all are saved. Why we are here this morning? We may say we come to worship the Lord. But according to the divine revelation, our salvation, our being saved, our coming together is for God's building. Amen. You know, when we get into Exodus, we will see also why God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt is that he may bring them to the wilderness and there reveal his building plan, that they may build him a house on the earth. Okay, let's continue with the Hebrews 11:9. By faith, he dwelt as a foreigner in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, making his home in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the fellow heirs of the same promise. Continue. I thought, you know, the Lord only revealed to Jacob, you know, that dream. And he woke up and he said, this place is awesome. It is house of God. But in fact, his grandfather, according to these two verses, mentioned his grandfather, Abraham, he was dwelling in tent with Isaac and Jacob. Why? They were fellow heirs of the same promise because he eagerly waited for the city. So Abraham was waiting for a city. Then let's read the following phrases. Start from which has the foundation, whose architect and builder is God. So this verse revealed to us, Abraham waited for a city. And that city is built by someone. And that builder, the architect, is God. So isn't the Bible wonderful? So Jacob saw that dream, but his father was waiting for a city already. And these two are, you know, correspond to one another. Okay, then let's read the end of the Bible, which is Revelation. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This verse is at the end of the Bible already. End of the Bible, there was a city. That city is the city that Abraham was waiting for, and whose foundation, whose architect and a builder is God. So it's the same. So the Bible is really wonderful. From the beginning to the end, imagine the same thing. In the beginning, Adam with his wife, that was his bride. The bride, Adam's bride, or Adam's wife, Eve, was built up from the rib. At the end, another bride showed up, and that is the New Jerusalem. Of course, it's also the city. So we see that this matter of building is in God's heart from the very beginning. You know, what Jacob had that dream, in fact, the Bible has this principle that is first mentioned. So whatever is mentioned the first time governs to govern all the rest mentioning in the Bible. So the first vision that Jacob saw concerning in the dream, he saw the heavenly ladder. When he woke up, he had a pillow, then he erected a stone, and pour oil, and call that place the house of God. So that governs all the rest, all the visions in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. So we see that this matter of God's house, God's building, is on God's heart and is His heart's desire and is His burden, you know. God wants to build a house for Him, for Himself, and this house in the New Testament, the Lord mentioned, is the church. So the church, one of the meaning of the church is the house of God. Of course, the church is the house of God. The church is also the body of Christ. That means this house is not, in the Old Testament, it was physical. It was the tabernacle Moses built. It was the temple that David and Solomon built. And but in the New Testament, this house is not the physical house. Oh. So maybe we can read some of the verses. Then we can see. Maybe I just mentioned a little bit concerning this house. In Exodus, you know, when the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt, they were charged to build a tabernacle for God. When the tabernacle was erected, then God's glory filled the house, filled the tabernacle. So there was in Exodus 25 through 32. Then later on, in 1 Kings, from 1 Kings chapter 6 to chapter 8, that David built the temple. It's the same thing. When the temple is built, then God's glory filled the temple. But these are the Old Testament pictures. Of course, later on, because of the failure of the children of Israel and their unfaithfulness, the temple was destroyed. And all the children of Israel, they were scattered. But after 70 years, they were returned. They returned to Jerusalem and they rebuilt the temple. So when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, there was the temple, but there was not the temple built by Solomon, but rather it was the temple later on was rebuilt. But when the Lord Jesus came, again, this matter of tabernacle and temple was mentioned. In fact, it was mentioned in Genesis, John chapter 1, when the Lord, in John 1:1 mentioned, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word in 14 became flesh. Then the word tabernacle was mentioned. Tabernacle among us. So Old Testament temple or tabernacles, they were lifeless, you know, buildings. But in the New Testament, God's building, it mentioned the Lord Jesus. He became a man to be God's tabernacle. So God was tabernacle inside of this man. In Genesis, in John 2, also mentioned the Lord Jesus was on the earth when the Jews, they will try to persecute him. And he said, destroy this temple and I will build in 3 days. And that was referring to his body. So the Lord Jesus is the reality of the tabernacle and the reality of the temple. So the temple is no longer a physical building, but rather it's a living composition of organism. You know, before the Lord Jesus crucified, he was with the disciples in John chapter 14 through 17. You know, he again mentioned something mysterious and wonderful. In John 14, he mentioned, in my Father's house, there are many abodes. So this Father's house is in John chapter 14. Then in chapter 15, the Lord Jesus abide in me and I in you. So the Father's house is for Father's dwelling, but at the same time, if you read carefully, that When the Lord Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many abodes. So it's not just for the Father's dwelling, but also for all the members. So in John 15, he mentioned about the true vine, that the Lord is the true vine, and we are the members. So we are living in the vine, and the vine is in the all the branches. So we see it's something living. So in John 14, there's the Father's house. In John 15, there's the true vine. In John chapter 16, there's the Spirit's child. Then all three referring to the same thing. And in John 17, then the Lord prayed for the oneness of the believers. In fact, this oneness is the building, because the building composed all of us. So we see that in the New Testament, the Old Testament types became the reality in the New Testament. And all three, Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, and Apostle John, they all referring to this building in their writings. So we see that the building is on God's heart, that is what God is doing, what God wants to build up, and involve all of us. You know, on the this is on the positive side. Because of time, maybe we'll skip the reading concerning Genesis 28. You know, Jacob had that dream with the ladder, and Jacob woke up. He poured oil on the stone and called the house of God. After Genesis 28, we have Genesis 35. Genesis 35 and Genesis 32. These two portions also mention that after the dream, Jacob went to his uncle's place. And eventually, of course, there was after the dream, he made a deal with the Lord. But the Lord eventually brought him back. And also brought him even back to the same place, Bethel. And the Lord also eventually changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel. So it shows that Jacob went through a process of being chosen, being dealt with, being broken, being transformed. God wants to transform him. For what purpose? Today in the New Testament is very clear. It's transform him that he may become materials for God's building. And this is a picture for all of us. Then we have some verses. Maybe we can read quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 and 11. These two verses are in the morning watch verses. I just want to mention this. Maybe you can read this too. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's cultivated land, God's building. For another foundation no one is able to lay besides that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So these are written by Brother Paul. So we see God's building is mentioned, that we are God's building. Let's read 1 Peter 2:4. Coming to him, a living stone, rejected by man, but with God chosen and precious. You yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we see that both Peter and Paul, they both mentioned concerning this matter of building. And John, of course, mentioned in Revelation very clearly, even it's the consummation of God's building, the New Jerusalem. You know, in the Bible, it's not only mentioned God's building. The enemy is also doing something. In fact, the enemy tried to build something even ahead of God. Because in God's building concerning the house is mentioned in Genesis chapter 28. But even before that, we know Cain killed his brother Abel. And Cain went to build a city also. He built a city, and he named the city of the name of his son. It's called Enoch. And after Cain built that building, there was Nimrod. You know, after, to make long story short, Nimrod, you know, after as a descendant of Noah, eventually in, I think Genesis 11, He built both the city of Babel and the city of Nimrod. All these cities, they are against God's building. They are against God's people. So we see that the enemy is also trying to build up something. You know, when the children of Israel, before they left Egypt, Pharaoh also asked them to build two storage cities. So all these buildings are the enemy's doing. And end of the Bible, we see the Great Babylon. Great Babylon is the great city. It's not a holy city, but they are built by the enemy. So we can see that the building is very crucial because this is what God is focusing on. And today, we all need to be very conscious of this. You know, while we're gathering, you know, in the New Testament mentioned, prophesy. He will prophesy, builds up the church, you know. So I'm just sharing a little bit, and later on we all share. When we're sharing, we are building up the church. So we need to be released. We don't want anything, even ourselves, to hinder our speaking. Because our speaking and ministering life to one another, it builds up the church. At the end, I just want to mention, there's something that hinder God's building. In fact, mostly it's not from the outsider, opposer, no. It's from you and from me. That's why in Matthew, it mentioned, let's read Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Let's read together. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it. But whoever loses his soul life for my sake shall find it." You know, when the Lord Jesus mentioned, "I will build my church," following phrase is, "the gates of Hades." The gates of Hades, they're ready, try to hinder the Lord's building up his church. And the gates of Hades want to open the gates of death, try to hinder. The gates of Hades, in our experience, are just the self, are just the soul life. So we need to deny ourselves. You know, ourselves need to be broken, so the life within us can flow out, and our soul life, we need to lose it. You know, yesterday I was in the college conference. A sister, she got saved recently, and I was asking. How is she doing? She said, "Oh, I have my life is up and down." I said, I mentioned to him, "That's okay. You know, our Christian life are up and downs. So we have the valley of death, we have the mountains, you know. But we need to daily contact the Lord, you know." Transformation, of course, Jacob was transformed into Israel, but transformation was not mentioned so clearly in the Old Testament. Transformation is mentioned in the New Testament. I don't know whether we have maybe at the end, we have Romans and the 2 Corinthians. Maybe we can read those two verses. Those two verses are the key verses mentioned in the New Testament. Let's read together. "And do not be fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect." 2 Corinthians. "And the law is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the law is, there is freedom. But we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit." You know, the New Testament gave us a very clear picture. The transformation is not just a change. It's not just, you know, if I got a very pale face, I just put some makeup. It's not like that. Transformation is you have to add something, you know. It's a metabolic process. You know, I had breakfast. The breakfast is working in me to transform me from within. So for us Christians to be transformed, we need a daily, you know, the Lord showed us, you know, we need to eat him and drink him. Then we shall live by him. We shall live because of him. So our Christian life is very crucial that every day we spend some time to read the Word, to pray, to fellowship with the Lord. So I was asking this sister whether she was doing that, and she said she was doing that. I was very happy. So as long as we're taking something of the Lord, something of ourselves will be discharged. That is the process of transformation. And also something more will be added into us. So we need, if we want to be transformed, we need to eat the Word, we need to read the law, read the Word, eat the law, and pray to Him. And also, another thing is, we need to come to the meetings, you know, because the growth is a growth in the body, not individually. Eventually, God is not going to bring out, spiritual giants, but rather the Lord will just want to gain His holy city. That's all of us. He wants all of us to be transformed, to become that, also to be built up, you know. In my experience in the church life, I get exposed. When we are exposed, then we realize, whatever comes from me, that is the gates of Hades, because it hinders the building. But when we are receiving the law, enjoying the law is getting into us and transforming us, you know. Then we'll make us buildable, you know. But building is not just we are close. That is not necessary building. It's not we are just intimate. That can be a honey. Rather, not, you know, it can build up, we are very close, but whatever the other saints, you know, we don't want to fellowship with them, that makes us exclusive. You know, we don't want to have this kind of small groups, intimacy just among us. We want to put ourselves in the body because the Lord wants to build up His body. So we need to enjoy the Lord, and we also want to come to the church meetings and enjoy the Lord with all the saints, and through the prophesying that we can build up the church. So may the Lord be merciful to us that we all can participate in this building. I'm very thankful the Lord kept me today until today in the church life. It's nothing of myself. I'm no better than anybody else. Just like salvation, I'm no better than anybody else that I should be saved. But the Lord saved me. I'm nobody, better than any other brothers or sisters or other Christians. But the Lord put me here in the church life and revealed His heart's desire to me, and I can go on with all the saints. May the Lord gain all of us for His building. So transformation is for God's building. Thank the Lord we have a part. Thank the Lord still working on us, still giving us time. May the Lord keep us in His house and for His building. Amen. Amen.
As Brother Timothy mentioned, next week the subject is maturity. You might say, forget it. I'm not going to get into it. Forget it. I'm not mature. I don't consider myself mature either. But the point is that when we find out what enables us to be mature, we have a possibility. If we don't find out, forget it. So please pick up your morning wash sheets. We have a very important announcement. So please listen. This coming weekend is the Chinese speaking conference. So please set aside that time, starting from Friday night to the Lord's Day. Mayor Wenty? So now the language meetings will go to their places, and we will pray, and then it will be your turn to share. Maybe what you enjoyed is not what the brother shared. Never mind. We want to hear what you have enjoyed. Let's pray.